Brad Masters, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Tell me about the Mood Center. What do you guys do there? I love the Mood Center. I know all about it, but yeah, tell us about it.
Absolutely. So I would call what we do interventional psychiatry. So, it's really built to work with people who suffer from depression, anxiety, trauma, PTSD. I mean, even some chronic pain. Treatment resistant, typically. So trial of meds, standard medications aren't really working, aren't doing the trick. People who, don't really want to be on traditional medications due to the side effects. We see a lot of folks like that. But it's a pretty comprehensive center, fantastic staff. We care a lot about the experience that people are coming, of people that are coming through. People, we care a lot. And it's really about using the latest and greatest in kind of what's coming out on the forefront of psychiatry to treat these patients. So right now, that would be ketamine, Spravato, and coming very soon, TMS.
Yeah. And ketamine it has incredible potential. I mean, the way it's been helping people, and I think some people get a little scared when they hear psychiatry because they hear psychiatry and they think no nobody thinks of therapy with psychiatry anymore. Psychiatry is like, oh, he's going to give me a bunch of medications, he or she, the psychiatrist is going to prescribe SSRIs and antipsychotics and things that are honestly, for a lot of people, toxic, are not really good for them and not helpful. And but we've seen some incredible results with ketamine in all kinds of different forms, from the nasal spray to infusion. And just in fact, I have a patient now who's doing unbelievably well of we're getting him off of actually getting him off of psych drugs, tapering him off, and he's just responding to ketamine treatment, getting therapy. And and when you mention the staff, that makes all the difference. I mean, when you walk in, it's terrifying
Absolutely.
going to a medical facility. It's just terrifying. But but just that walking in and making the phone call and having a friendly voice on the other end and people that understand and what you're going through and care about what you're going through makes all the difference.
Yeah, no, I would 100% agree with you. I mean, the experience, especially when you're talking about something like ketamine or even Spravato, the experience itself is so important, and kind of what you're going through. I mean, everything from setting intentions for the session. I mean, so we can kind of dive into that a little bit and kind of how it's different from traditional medications, right? So like traditional medication, ever since Prozac came out in the 80s, right? We've had the same idea on how to treat depression pharmaceutically, and that's basically, different classes work on different things, but essentially we're just turning the volume up on different chemicals in the brain, right? Whether that's serotonin, dopamine, GABA. Ketamine's very different. So it works on neuroplasticity through a chemical called glutamate, right? So it goes in, it blocks the NMDA receptor and affects neuroplasticity. So literally the brain's ability to adapt, which is all enhanced. So I like to explain it to patients like when they're coming in. What we do here is we facilitate we speed up change essentially, right? We're adapting the brain, and then what you're doing outside is just as important. So the therapy that you're doing, or recognizing things, journaling can be very important. Setting an intention for sessions, coming in and being in the right frame of mind, that can be super important. So ketamine also during the infusion shuts down something called the default mode network, which is hypothesized that that's where the ego is. And so things that do that naturally, like a solid meditation practice, being in nature. But one thing we find is that the experience, the ketamine experience itself, can have a lot of clinical benefit, because it's almost like when they come in with with an intention, and when that default mode network kind of gets shut down, it allows them to take a look at things from a different perspective. Almost. It's like, almost like they get a chance to step outside of themselves and take a look at some of the issues, and they can come out of it with like, wow, I never really thought about it like that before. That kind of thing. And perspective is everything when it comes on to what you're dealing with. So, it's really exciting. It really is. And it's really the beginning, of a whole new way to treat these conditions that have been really tough to treat.
Yeah, that's great. So what is it like? What's the experience of going to the mood center? Like when, from like when you first walk through the door and when you start your first session, like what is that like?
Yeah, so the first thing would be, well, you'd call, right? And we'd go through everything with you. We'd talk to you about kind of what happens. We're really big on education. I think that's super important, especially with something like ketamine. So you're in the driver's seat of your treatment, right? So like if you're just getting the treatments, you can absolutely get some benefit from that. But if you don't know what's happening, i.e. kind of what we were talking about before, where it's like what we're really doing in the mood center is priming the brain for change, but it's what you're doing outside that's really going to facilitate and speed that change up. Doesn't mean that you won't get any benefit if you don't know that, but knowing that can really facilitate, can make it go quicker, right? So we believe in education. So when you first call in, you're going to get a lot of that education. And then after that, you would come in for an assessment. So, I as great as the treatment is, I still wouldn't say it's absolutely correct for everybody, right? So that's why we do an upfront assessment and we make sure that people are appropriate and we're doing our due diligence, and people need to do their due diligence too. The assessment's great. Our practitioners are fantastic, very knowledgeable. They're going to educate people the whole way through. And then after that, we start with a series of 6 to 8 treatments. Generally, 6 is enough within a 2 to 3 week period. And the reason for that is so that when ketamine's administered, it goes in and blocks the NMDA receptor in the brain, which facilitates the glutamate response. That reaction is 1 to 3 days typically. So when you stack the 6, you actually create 1 to 3 months. You go from 1 to 3 days to 1 to 3 months. And then after the initial 6 to 8, we do like once a month essentially. But when you come in, you're greeted at the front desk. Every patient gets a journal and kind of a list of more education on how they can really help facilitate greater change in their life. You wear noise canceling headphones. We take you to one of our private rooms. Everything's medically monitored. So a nurse is going to be checking vitals along the way. There's a button in every room if you need help and we're not in there. You can customize your experience. So we have lights in every room. We have lava lamps. You can turn on, turn off, dim the whole nine. We go over all that with every single patient. You have the option for aromatherapy. We have heated chairs, heated reclining chairs, zero gravity chairs. So we really do focus a lot on the experience itself and making sure that people, when it comes to like set and setting and making sure that people feel safe and comfortable, we take that very seriously.
What about the eyes? Do they have people have the option to cover their eyes if they want
They
to
do.
wear an eye cover?
Yep. So we give eye masks to everybody. Some people really like that. Some people prefer to actually see the lights. So it just really depends. And sometimes it's a variation of both. One treatment they might prefer one way, and the next treatment the other.
Wow, that's great. And when you talk about intention, and I think that's everything, because when you're forming new connections in the brain, you want to have things as positive as possible and focused, I think, on where you want to go with your life, what changes you're trying to make. And when something becomes plastic and malleable, it could potentially, if you're in the wrong hands, you could go maybe go in the wrong direction. But it's the most important, I think, to have the right guidance and the right atmosphere and right setting.
Oh, absolutely. And we talk to patients. I mean, I've seen everything. It's pretty interesting. I mean, when you see this treatment work in people's lives, it's pretty amazing. And I've seen everything from pretty radical, quick transformations to things that, it's just kind of small changes, but the small changes add up. So we talk to patients about that. Like, how do you create these new patterns in the brain? And some of it is like you might come in for a treatment and the next day you wake up and you just notice that you're maybe not responding or reacting the way you normally would to things, and you just had a sense of calm, or something happens, you're like, oh wow, that would have really bothered me before, but it's not right now. And so it's really important when going through this process to notice those things, even no matter how minute they are, jot them down, journal about them, and that repetitiveness or that gratitude for that change can help the shift move along faster. And these are the things I talk about that can help ketamine work faster in people's lives.
Yeah, and when you look at your website, and I think when you look up ketamine, the first thing is that there's treatment-resistant depression, and I feel like that might change someday, because treatment-resistant depression implies that a person has to try some of these other toxic drugs, and Hopefully we can get to the point where we can just skip over those and go right to something that's a
I,
little bit
you know,
safer.
it's interesting. I believe we will. So like Spravato, esketamine, which is great as well, the nasal spray. It's been FDA cleared for the use of treatment-resistant depression. Currently, you have to have two failed attempts at traditional medications, sometimes of different classes depending on the payer, before you can try it. It used to be that you had to have two failed attempts, plus you had to be on an antidepressant in conjunction with it. But the FDA just recently removed that, and they approved it for what we call monotherapy. So you can actually use it as standalone. So people that have trialed these medications, the side effects were awful. They don't want to go back on them. They can actually, it is now an option for them. I believe, hopefully, that as time goes on, it'll maybe go to like they only have to trial one medication, and then maybe it's a first line defense at some point. It just works too well for it not to be that eventually.
Yeah, and there's a list of maybe I think maybe like 9 to 12 different conditions, major conditions that it's known to work for. I mean everything from OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder, PTSD, and then there's even some more rare unusual conditions, different mental health conditions and pain syndromes, and I mean everything from like chronic Lyme disease to connective tissue disorders. So what kinds of things do you see there? Like, what kinds of interesting, medical
Oh,
conditions?
all of the above. I mean, chronic pain, it's pretty amazing. I mean, I again, it's when the right person comes in and it works for them, it's pretty phenomenal to see. I mean, it's almost I mean, I had one guy come in who was he was came in a wheelchair. His pain was so bad. He was a veteran, and within the first 2 weeks, he like I think it was like towards the end of his initial phase, he came. Sorry about that. My phone went off. He came walking through the door. And I
Wow.
was like, whoa. Like, and he's like, you wouldn't believe it. And he's like, my pain is almost, it's not gone, but it's at, it was at an 8 before. Now it's at a 3. I'm like, wow. That's pretty incredible. We see everything from chronic pain conditions, rare conditions, neurology, depression, OCD, trauma, PTSD, on the ketamine side. So for Spravato, esketamine, because it's FDA cleared for the use of treatment-resistant depression, that's currently the only condition we can prescribe that for. But with ketamine, it's a little different. We can prescribe it for any condition that it could help with.
Yeah, and just taking something like OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder. I mean, I think that's one of those things that's probably a lot more common than people think about, and I think it's something that a lot of people suffer quietly with, and they don't really want to talk about it, and and there's all different ways that it manifests. It can be, you're going back to check the oven to make sure you turn it off, or it could be that you're having intrusive thoughts, unpleasant thoughts that pop in your head that you wish wouldn't pop in your head, and you don't know how to deal with them. Could be that you're obsessive about cleaning your house and or not having stuff in your house, washing, showering over and over again, or washing your hands. There's like just a million different ways OCD can, and you probably see a lot of people with OCD coming in.
Oh yeah. The one that sticks out the most is a young lady who came in for severe OCD. Hands were like blistered from washing, and I think it was like at the end. She came in for her booster, so she had been through her first initial phase, and then she was coming in for the once a month boosters. And she came to the desk and showed her hands, and they were like, they clearly started to heal. And she was just so proud of it. And so it works well. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, so that's people shouldn't have to quietly suffer with things like OCD or PTSD, that there's things that work, and people when they you go to the traditional psychiatrist and they're like, here's a prescription for Prozac, it should work in 2 to 4 weeks, and we'll reassess, and they go back and it's not working yet, give me more of that Xanax or whatever, and that's how people get unfortunately dependent on benzodiazepines, which is a really big problem now. I've actually seen ketamine, and that's a big thing with what I do of helping people get off of benzodiazepines. And in some cases, I've seen ketamine has been very helpful in facilitating that, of making the tapering process a little bit easier and smoother.
Yeah, for sure. There's actually some studies that have been going on about even from opiates. So like opiates can be so strong, especially like fentanyl and stuff, that there's a really kind of large time gap between coming off opiates before you can go on something like Suboxone, where people are suffering quite a bit. And some people have been using ketamine as a bridge, and it's been working really, really well for that. Benzos as well. It's not a cure-all for it, but it can help with that process.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, the tapering process has to happen in its own time, but yeah. People do get stuck at certain points. They hit a wall, you know, in the tapering process, and yeah, ketamine can be a tool that can help facilitate moving forward. And what you said with opioids is important, you know, because there's so many people suffering with fentanyl dependence, and you know, going from fentanyl to Suboxone, which is important. You know, Suboxone is life-saving, or buprenorphine. But that induction period is particularly difficult because fentanyl gets sequestered in the fat cells and people get precipitated withdrawal, and they have to have sometimes a whole week in between quitting the fentanyl and starting the Suboxone. And it's really hard to get through. And yeah, so yeah. If ketamine can help bridge people and get people to that, that's gives a lot of people hope.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's really, really good. What about PTSD, trauma? What kinds of things do you see with people coming in for trauma?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's the perspective, the way that ketamine helps with perception on certain events can absolutely help with that. We actually have a CAP therapist, ketamine assisted psychotherapist, come down from Colorado and work with patients. He works mainly with military folks. Who have severe PTSD, and he has a whole protocol that he goes through with them, and it's pretty cool to see that protocol and how well that works for his folks. We had a veteran come through at one point with pretty severe PTSD. His trigger was noises, loud noises, and he had a toddler in the house, so you can imagine there was quite a bit of triggering going on all day long for him. And he came through, the result was through the treatments and through some work he was doing with the therapist. I remember him mentioning the noise would still happen, and he would know how he would normally react, but it just the reaction wasn't there. And then that continued, and so that was really cool. That was a really cool thing to see.
Yeah. And PTSD goes beyond, wartime, that's terrifying. You know, somebody waking up and thinking the enemy's in the next room or a gunshot or bombing off. It's also people have trauma from childhood and not 100%. Just physical abuse, but emotional abuse. And I mean, there's more trauma out there than I think any of us are, I think it's just a huge epidemic of, people growing up with trauma and struggling internally, and maybe also kind of keeping it to themselves and not knowing that there's help out there.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. And I think your point is important. We tend to think and lean towards, when you talk about PTSD, some of the more severe cases, but that's not always the case. And people can be suffering and not really relate it, because they don't think, it's all relative. To how it affects you.
Yeah. Do you see also people with trying to overcome alcoholism? Because I know that there's protocols for ketamine for alcoholism and, getting off of alcohol.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, with something like alcohol, it's safety first, right? So it depends on what stage they're at. We would always recommend it in conjunction with something else as well, with the therapy and things that they were going through. I mean, if they need detox or something like that, we're obviously going to be sending them to that level of care first before we get to this. But 100%, we have had people come through at different stages of it, from everything from binge drinking to coming out of rehab and wanting to just kind of accelerate that process, who have they've had success with it.
Yeah. And Something that I had a conversation with someone else about in a podcast about finding that right amount of ketamine for a particular individual. Like, I guess like there may be places that I feel like there are. I feel like there's ketamine clinics out there. You know, when this whole thing started years ago of ketamine clinics opening up, that there may be the places that overtreat people. You know, that they're like, you know, here's a bunch of ketamine, and you know, you'll feel like you're floating and get the experience. But there's a therapeutic aspect to it where too little or too much is not right, and there's like that Goldilocks zone, that just right amount for a person. How does that work? Like, how do you find like what is just right for a person?
Yeah, so lots of communication. I mean, we start off at 0.5 milligrams per kilogram, pretty standard. Over the course of the six, we work up to one milligram per kilogram. That's typically the maintenance dose. But everybody's different. So like some people, they'll get up to, you know, 0.8 milligrams per kilogram and be like, you know what, this is where I want to be. This is perfect. And that's where they stay. You know, we have other people who get to 1 milligram per kilogram and they go up a little bit past that. I mean, we obviously have thresholds, but we really work with the individual to find, to your point, the Goldilocks zone, like what is that right dose for that person. So I wouldn't say it's a cookie cutter approach. I mean, the where we start, and you know, there's guidelines, but it's really working with the patient.
Yeah, and that sounds like a reasonable, safe place to start. You know, when you think about, you know, they always talk about the average man is a 70 kilogram. You know, in medical school, they're always talking about, you know, you have a 70 kilogram male or whatever. And, so yeah, if you think about 0.5 would be 35 milligrams, or 1 milligram would be 70, and that, yeah, that sounds like a conservative, safe amount. You know, that and a person, I understand that a person doesn't have to have a, you know, you shouldn't expect or be afraid of a psychedelic experience. Like, you're not going to be hallucinating or being in some other world. You may not even feel anything, especially. But the ketamine is working. It's you know, it's, I guess, creating new connections in the brain, new dendritic connections between neurons, whether you're floating away or whether you're just laying there saying, you know, this is nice music and, you know, nice lighting and everything. But yeah, you don't have to especially have a, you know, some out of body experience to get something out of it.
Yeah, no doubt. I think, so I would say the dissociative effect happens 95% of the time. So typically it does. It doesn't always. And just to your point, just because it doesn't mean that the medication is not working. Most people describe it as a very comfortable, very relaxing experience. You know, we have the noise canceling headphones. They're listening to very comfortable, relaxing music. It's we set it up that way. And also the intention they come in with can really help with that as well. It's really, you know, I get a lot of, I'll go in and say, hey, how was that? How was your treatment? And I'll get a lot of, I don't know how to describe that to you. I don't know, you know, I don't know how to explain that. But you know, I hear a lot of the word release, like it felt like I was able to release stuff, or I hear a lot the blocks are gone from independent patients, like the things that were holding me back are gone through their treatment process. You know, so it's nervous is, every patient that comes through the door, I think the first time is nervous, and we're equipped to handle that and work with people on that. But after they get going in, it's totally fine. I've had people have like powerful experiences where there's some tears and stuff, but those can be good things. I haven't had anybody have like quote unquote a bad trip or anything like that.
It might. I think it's unfair to call sometimes, you know, they call ketamine a psychedelic, and it's not like psychedelic things. You know, it's not like magic mushrooms or LSD. It's a different kind of a thing. And I think that's also important, is that for people to realize that, you know, it didn't just appear 8 years ago or 10 years ago. You know, ketamine was approved by the FDA over 50 years ago.
Oh yeah, it's been around forever, long time.
Yeah, and it's, in certain situations in the emergency room, I think mostly it's a preferred anesthetic for children. You know, it's considered so safe relative to other anesthetics that they, you know, when they're doing a procedure on a young child in the emergency room, ketamine is often the preferred medication because of the safety profile of it.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, again, I think it's right. You got to be the right person for it. And, you know, we do our due diligence, but you're, to your point, it is very safe, especially in the doses that we're using, the dosages that we're using. And it's the therapeutic dosage. I mean, that's what is studied to work really well for the conditions we're treating. So, people are in a very safe place.
Yeah. Brad, yeah, thank you. And just, is there anything else that I didn't ask you about the mood center that, you know, you want to talk about?
I don't think so. I think this was great. I think we covered a good bit of it.
And you're in Annapolis, Maryland, and Columbia,
yeah,
Maryland.
Annapolis, now. Maryland, and we just opened our second location in Columbia. So really excited about that.
Is Columbia open? Like, can people actually go there for a treatment
yeah.
now?
Yeah, we're open 2 days a week right now, but we'll be expanding on that shortly.
Yeah, Columbia is an interesting place, a planned community, and it looks like a really nice place to live.
It is, yeah, it's beautiful. You know, we're really excited about this location. I'm actually here now, so.
Oh, wow, okay. Okay, yeah, so Brad Masters, thank you for joining me today.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.